God is in the midst of his people. I'm so glad scripture tells us that where two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And anything we ask him for, he said he would do it for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'd like you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost at all times. We always want to seek to submit to him. But how do we know when the Holy Ghost is leading? How do we know what a good church is? How do we know what a good Christian is? It's found on one way, and that's by the individual or the circumstance or the church lining up with the Word of God. And one of the things I'm glad we're committed to here at Earl Church of God, and we need to be more and more in our personal lives, is the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not, everybody say shall not, depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. Everybody say all. That is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I want to preach to you a message entitled tonight, Committed to the Word. Committed to the Word. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that your Spirit is here in the midst, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, God, as you prepare our hearts to receive that engrafted word which is able to save the soul, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would touch me with that anointing that makes preaching effective, oh God, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would say and do, Lord God, to your people, with your people, exactly what you want to. Lord, I invite you just to flow through me, and I give you the praise and glory and honor for all that's accomplished in Jesus' holy, wonderful name. We pray, amen. You may be seated in the house of God tonight. Hallelujah. One of the things as you study the Word of God, you will find is that it is through meditation and study on the Word of God that we enhance our own spiritual growth. How many of you want to grow spiritually? Amen. Amen. You got to feed your spirit man. And it's only through study of the Word of God that we grow spiritually. And not only do we grow spiritually, but we prepare ourselves to help others grow. How many of you would like to lead somebody to Jesus before it's all said and done? How many of you want to lead some family members to Jesus Christ before it's all said and done? And we need to understand that the power of the Word of God is just that. It is the power to help us grow, and it is the power to cause others to come to know Jesus Christ and help them grow. Now, there are three things we want to look at tonight that the Lord's laid on my heart to share with you. Number one, we are to continually study the Word. Number two, we are to delight in the Word. Do you delight in the Word of God? There are some parts I think we like more than others, but we need to know all the Word of God. And then the third thing, we need to realize that God is pleased when we know, when we keep, and when we share His Word. How many of you want to please the Lord tonight? Then you need to know the Word. You need to keep the Word. And you need to share the Word of God. Now let's look at our opening scripture tonight. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Notice what God told Joshua he had to do in order to be successful and have a successful campaign. This was after the death of Moses, the man of God. The Lord had said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Now I want you to stop and ask yourself this question. How much of the Word of God can I quote? How much of the Word of God do I commit to memory? How much of the Word of God do I listen to on a daily basis? Now, we're going to look at why in just a minute. But notice what God's commandment to this young military leader was. He said that you've got to be led by the Word of God. What are you led by tonight? Are you led by the Word? Are you led by what your family says? Are you led by what popular opinion is? If we're led by what popular opinion is, we've closed the doors of the church. If we're led by popular opinion, beloved, we wouldn't tithe. If we're led by popular opinion, we wouldn't witness. We'd allow anything and everything to go on. But in order for Joshua to have been successful, he had to not just study military plans. He had to study and know the Word of God. Notice what it says here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Isn't it interesting that he said that there to that young ruler? Could it be that he said to Joshua, Joshua, I'm going to tell you something, and somebody else will pin it later down, later on in the Word of God, David would put it in the Psalms, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaketh. And so here was God, all the way back in Joshua chapter 1, telling this young ruler, Joshua, you got to get the Word in your heart. And when you get the Word in your heart, it'll come out your mouth. Hallelujah. How do you get it in your heart? Notice what he goes on and says here. Thou shalt meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate. Therein day and night. When do you do it? Day and night. Not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. But you should set you up a morning and an evening devotional time. And you need to allow yourself to be committed to studying the Word of God. And notice what it says here. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Everybody say, do it. One of the reasons the church is in trouble today is we have quit doing what the Word of God says do. We've quit allowing the Word of God to motivate us and direct us. Hallelujah. I've seen preachers come in and they'll tell you different things. Well, that was just for that generation, or that was just for those type of people. But beloved, can I tell you, if it's in the book, it's for us. And we need to learn how it applies to us. And we need to apply it to every area of our life. Hallelujah. Why do I need to be in it day and night? Why do I need to do it? Look, here's why. Notice what it says here. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then. When? When I do what the Word says do. When I've committed it to memory and I've committed it to my heart and I'm going to be a doer of the Word. Notice what it goes on and says here. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Hallelujah. Do you want to be successful? Maybe you want. Maybe you're saying, I'm at the tail end of my life and I've already arrived. I'll be honest with you. I don't think any of us have arrived spiritually, physically, mentally. Anyway, we can always improve ourselves. And the way you're going to improve yourself and be what God's called you to be is to obey the Word of God and do what the Word of God says do. Hallelujah. So what do we want to do? When do we need to be in the Word of God? Always. Now, let's look at the fact that we need to delight in the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord. Notice what the psalmist said here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the what? The counsel. Sometimes you can't help but be in the presence of ungodly people. Amen. But just because you're in the presence of them, just because they're in your family, just because they might be in your church or at your workplace, that don't mean you got to do what they say do. You can hear what they say here, but then you got to listen. I got to give account to God for what I do. Notice what David said. A blessing comes on the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Do you know that God doesn't expect you to go out there and just forcefully get people to quit sinning? You realize that? You go out there and you warn them and you tell them, but if they reject you, understand this, they got to give account to God. If you told somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ and you told them that what they're doing is wrong, then after that, beloved, the blood's off of your hand. The Bible says it's our job as watchmen, hallelujah, to cry out when the enemy's coming in. You cry out against sin. You tell folks they need to give their hearts to the Lord and they need to live for the Lord. And then you put it in God's hands and you move on with God. So often we are tore up because we're saying, man, I wish I could get my loved one to quit sinning. You can't do that. It's not your job to get them to quit misbehaving. That's God's job. Your job is just to tell them. Oh, hallelujah. I feel release coming in the house right there. You need to receive that. Go ahead and give God praise. It is not our job to sit there and forcefully get people to do right. We compel them to come in. We beg them. We plead with them. We repeat ourselves and go to them. But ultimately, they got to make that choice. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now listen here. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. Do you know what it means to be scornful? It means to be critical and it means to be judgmental. God don't want you to know the word of God so you can beat other people up with it. God wants you to know the word of God so you can live it. God wants you to know the word of God so you can be blessed by it. Hallelujah. Look at what verse 2 goes on and says. But his delight, everybody say, my delight. This is what God wants you to delight in. That means for you to take pleasure in, for you to enjoy. David said, my delight or his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. Does the law of God delight you? Hallelujah. Does the law of God thrill your heart? I couldn't wait to hear preaching. When I first got saved, I loved praise and worship. There's a lot of people, they love praise and worship, and that's all well and good. We need to praise the Lord. We need to worship the Lord. But I've always been one man, preach me the word. Hallelujah. Amen. I want a biblical sermon. I want a Bible-based sermon where somebody's telling me some biblical truth that I can sink my teeth into and I can apply it to my life and I can allow it to change me. Hallelujah. You know why a lot of people don't delight in the Word of God anymore? It's because they're not following the Word of God like they used to. Hallelujah. They love the part about Jesus loves me, this I know. They love the part about the fact that we're going to heaven when we've confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. But they start sitting down on you a little bit when you start telling them the Bible says there are certain things we do and there's some things we don't do. They start sitting down on you and they get mad whenever you start telling them the Bible talks about your money. And how you're supposed to handle your money. The Bible talks about how you're supposed to dress and where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to watch. But beloved, in order for us to be blessed, we need to learn to love all of the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give them praise. That's all right. I believe that a problem arises in an individual's life or in a congregation's life when they start dissecting the Word of God and they start picking and choosing what to follow and what to do. David said this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. When you start dissecting the lamp, it won't be long before you're in darkness. Thy word is a light unto my path. Oh, glory to God. If you start dissecting the word, very soon it won't be long before you're stubbing your toe on something. Hallelujah. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the church is going to be the first ones judged by God? Amen. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And if a righteous man shall scarcely be saved, what shall then be of the sinner? But we need to learn to rejoice in God's word just as much as we rejoice in fellowshipping at a good dinner. Hallelujah. We need to learn to rejoice in God's word just as much as we rejoice in a singing. I know people who will drive 2 hours to go to a good singing. I've done it. I've done there been groups that I love. I and Alicia's first date, we drove to Fayetteville from Lumberton. We went to see, hallelujah, the McCamies and Carla Mons and Redemption and all those good Southern gospel groups. I was doing it so I could get to know her, but also because I like Southern gospel. But I've also driven 2 miles to 2 hours to hear preaching too. We've heard some good preaching over the years. But you've got to learn to be balanced in your approach to the Word of God. So let me ask you tonight, do you delight in the Word of God? Now notice what Scripture goes on and says here. I want you to realize last of all tonight that God, if you really want to please God tonight, I'm so glad you don't have to give your body to be burned in order to please God, and you don't have to give all your money away, and you don't have to go to a mission field and be shot full of arrows somewhere. All you got to do is you got to know the Word of God. You got to keep the Word of God, and you got to share it. Let's look at that real quick tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Y'all probably could quote it to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Study. Everybody say study.
Study.
That means you're not going to get it by osmosis. You can't just put it on your pillow, hallelujah, and all of a sudden it be imparted into your brain. You got to read it. You got to listen to it. You've got to meditate on it. Notice what he says here. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, I got excited when I started reading this because you know who I'm trying to impress with my Bible knowledge? It ain't you. It's God.
Amen.
Woo, glory, hallelujah. You're going to give God, you're going to give account to God for what you know about the Word and how you've applied the Word to your life. Notice what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You ain't got to impress me. My wife ain't got to impress me with her Bible knowledge. I ain't got to impress her with my Bible knowledge. What we've got to do is apply the Word of God and live it before the Lord to please Him.
Amen.
Somebody praise the Lord in this house. Sometimes I get so aggravated when I cut on Facebook, and I've been guilty of it too. I'll be the first one to say, you'll see these Christians, I love on one another, they'll start getting into these debates on Scripture. What does Scripture say? You know what? Beloved, you're not going to change anybody else's mind. So you study to show yourself approved to the Father. You'll prove yourself. Go ahead and give them praise. You seek to please the Father. Notice what he says here. Now understand this. A workman. Everybody say a workman. That means, you know what? We building something. And the Bible says that everything that we build is going to be judged on the day of judgment. How we build. And I tell you what, the Bible actually says that if we build with wood, hay, or straw, or gold, jewels, or precious metals, it's going to be judged on the day of judgment. You know what? You ain't going to get no more precious than this book. Why do you think the devil's trying to convince us that it's written by men, that there's errors in it? Hallelujah. Or that was for then. That's not for now. Can I tell you what? The Word of God, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus hasn't changed, His Word hasn't changed. We still need to apply it to our life. We need to love it. Hallelujah. We need to meditate in it. And we need to study it. Now notice what happens here. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I've already told you, it's God that we we're working to please. Now, I want you to understand this. It's work to understand the word of God. You've got to get into church. You've got to listen to it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to study it out. Now, I want you to understand this. According to that verse right there, notice what it says. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you've got to find out how to rightly apply it to your life. Why don't we sacrifice animals anymore? Because Jesus is our sacrifice. Why do we worship God on Sunday rather than on Saturday? Because Jesus is our Sabbath. And because we're celebrating His victory, raising from the dead. And I can show you several passages in the New Testament where they gathered together on Saturday. Why do we pay our Sunday? Why do we pay our tithes? Because there's New Testament examples of the church paying tithes. It's in the Word of God. There is a right way And there is a wrong way to interpret the Word of God. I've heard this all my life. Oh, well, you'll get something out of it, and I might get something else out of it. Well, one of us might be wrong. We need to make sure we are in agreement with the Word of God. Now notice what it goes on and says here. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh man, can you just praise the Lord for a minute? I felt something in my spirit. Hallelujah. This right here is foundational stuff. What the devil has tried to do. Can I tell you, I know y'all been here for a long time. Earl will soon be celebrating his 100th anniversary. It's been here a long time. But you know what the enemy's been trying to do? What he's trying to do in your life? He's trying to chip away at the foundation of Earl Church of God. He's trying to chip away at the foundation of your relationship with God. And what he's trying to chip away at is your word. Believe the word and you shall prosper. Notice what it says to do here. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Now, what's an unlearned question? That's a question you don't know the answer to. If you don't know the answer and you can't find the answer, why are you going to worry about it? There's something like I remember at home one time we had a debate. Did Adam have a belly button? I think they spent 3 weeks on whether or not Adam had a belly button. And they would get hot about that thing. It's like, you never know the answer to that. Why are you going to waste time on that? Why are you going to waste time worrying about things you're not going to know? We talk about heaven. What's heaven going to be like? The Bible, I tell you what heaven's going to be like. You ain't got no idea. Because the Bible says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man. All that God, woo, hallelujah, hath prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. So it hasn't entered into your heart yet. It hasn't entered into your mind yet. Woo, glory to God. All that God has already prepared for you. So don't worry about what you don't know the answer to. Knowing this, that they do gender strife. How many of you are tired of strife in the body of Christ? Maybe you're tired of strife in your marriage. Tired of strife at your work. One thing you can do is quit bringing up questions that get you in trouble. Hallelujah. If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question. But notice what verse 26 goes on and says here. And the servant of the Lord, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Can you say that with me? Say, the servant of the Lord must not strive. God ain't called us to fight. Hallelujah. I told you that Sunday night. We looked at the subject of being meek, and what meekness is that you trust that God's way is right and all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus, and you trust him that he's going to work it out for your good even when people do you wrong. Now, understanding that, but the servant of the Lord must not strive, but this should be our attitude, but be gentle unto some people. Unto my family. But it don't say that. That's hard, ain't it? But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. The way you're going to be apt to teach is to know what you're talking about. To know what you're talking about, you got to study the word. Here's a big one. Patient. We know what produces patience. I've heard a lot of preachers say, don't pray for patience, because tribulation produces patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And if you're going through trials tonight, let me exhort you. What's God's end game? What's he trying to put in you if you're going through trials? Patience. Notice what it goes on and says. Verse 25, brother. Hallelujah. In meekness, here it is again. Strengthen the control. Surrender to the will of God. Trusting God's will. Instructing those that oppose themselves.
I remember one time when I was real little, we used to get away with doing this where I lived at, because I'm like y'all, I lived in the country, and you don't see a lot of traffic, especially not when I was little. But it got to the point where Mama had to tell me, Ron, don't run in the road. Why not, Mama? You get hit by a car. Ron, don't run in the road. Why not, Mama? You get hit by a car. She had to tell me that quite a lot, because I like to run. It's a good place to go and play, and you can have to cross the road to get to the field where I wanted to go. And she had to teach me how to look both ways before I crossed the street. And so many things we have to teach over and over again. And I want to tell you something. You might be frustrated tonight because you've talked to family members and you've talked to neighbors and you've talked to co-workers about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you've told them they need to get saved. And you've told them how they need to live. And they're actually on the way to hell and they don't even realize it themselves. Or if they realize it, they're rejecting it for the party and for the moment. But notice this. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What's that say? Ultimately, it's not up to you to get them saved. It's up to God. I think you ought to give him praise on that right here. Notice what he says. Will give them repentance. What do they have to do? They got to repent. That means to change direction. Acknowledging of the truth. Give me verse 26. I'm running out of time. That they may recover themselves. Hallelujah. You know what? You can't recover nobody. I think some of you might beat yourselves up because if you could, you would pull them out of whatever situation they're in. That's not your job. They've got to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. All you can do is say, this is the way. This is the way to get out of that trap. This is the way to live right. This is the way to walk right. You live it by example. And then you trust God with it. So what are you doing there? You're knowing the Word of God. You're keeping the Word of God, but then you're sharing the Word of God. You might sit there and say, man, I feel like an ultimate failure. I haven't led anybody to Jesus. But if you keep in the Word of God, you know in the Word of God, and you share in the Word of God, God's pleased with that. Not only do you know it and you keep it and you share it, but you study it. Are you committed to the Word of God? I want to ask the praise team if they will, if they'll come back and get ready to lead us to the